This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The National Association of Latino Arts and Culture today is announcing its latest battery of grants. 27 artists and 12 organizations are receiving financial support from the NALAC Fund for the Arts, a notable number from San Antonio. This is the only national grant program supporting Latino artists and organizations in all creative disciplines. These 40 recipients are recognized for artistic excellence in pursuit of social justice through the arts. But is this enough to help Latinx artists find sustainable support? Clearly, no. What more, though, needs to be done? What is the role of Latinx art in our creative scene? What is the health of our art system for Latinx? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. This is a community conversation, as always, and we want to hear from everyone. 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined today by Gabriel Migrainer, and he is the Director of Programs for the National Association of Latino Arts and Culture. Mari Hernandez, Multidisciplinary Artist and Education Manager for the Blue Star Contemporary. And Christina Bailly, the Executive Director of the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center. It's great to have you here in the studio this afternoon. It's fantastic. So, Gabriel, tell us more about these grants that y'all have announced today.
Yeah, so we're thrilled to announce really big news today. We have 28 artists and 12 organizations from across the country that are receiving support from the NALAC Fund for the Arts. Here in San Antonio, there are 6 artists and 2 organizations receiving support. Folks like Juan Tejeda, who will be doing a project on conjunto music. Visual artist David Zamora Casas, who will be putting together an art exhibit about the tricentennial, and many other great projects.
So how do y'all arrive at these people, and how competitive are these grants?
Sure. This year we received upwards of 300 applications from across the country, and we went through a national peer review process to sort of get to those finalists. But it is very competitive. These are sizable grants ranging from $5,000 to $15,000. So it really gives artists an opportunity to devote time and resources to create new work.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, but you can't live on $5,000 to $15,000. This is not enough to create a lifestyle. You're not going to make large investments based, but it helps you along the way. But that's kind of like the way it is now for artists. It's a little bit here, a little bit there, trying to piece it all together. And hopefully today we can kind of talk about that, how difficult it is to make a living, scratch out a living from being a day-to-day artist here, and particularly for those in the Latinx community. So I want to talk about this. Go around the table, and Mari Hernandez, if you can start off from Blue Star, talking about what do you see the health of our local art system, particularly for the Latinx community?
Well, I think that there's always room for improvement. I know that there's the Latinx community looks for support and development in different ways. And if we're talking about the type of support that we receive from our city, there's different ways. So, city funding is one way to receive support. And I know that there's been some recent changes to that, some changes in categories and changes in dollar amounts. I do also feel that there's, organizations, nonprofit organizations that are devoted to the development of artists. That's also a way to feel supportive. But I think one of the biggest ways, in my personal opinion, that Latinx supports each other is through the community that they create, that artists support other artists and create paths and opportunities for each other. I think that one of the biggest issues facing the Latinx arts community are issues of representation. This isn't anything new. This is something that artists and artists of color have been dealing with for generations. And so I feel like naturally we go to our community first, and we try to find ways to support each other, and then hope that we can in turn turn to organizations or bigger institutions or establishments. But I feel like that's still in process, and it's a work in progress.
Okay, there's a lot there. We'll get into that throughout the conversation. Christina Bailly at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, how do you see the state of San Antonio's art system for Latinx?
We have a very thriving art system here in San Antonio, but like Mari said, we have a long ways to go. We still need to create more opportunities for artists to be able to create a living, to be able to live full-time as an artist in San Antonio. Those opportunities are still not there. There are some opportunities with a different arts organization. So if we want to create an ecosystem, you know, where artists can survive and thrive, we need various things. We need the organizations that will present their work. We need funding sources like from foundations and national institutions like NALAC. We need funding sources from the locally, from the city of San Antonio. What is going out for with the hotel motel tax, you know, from the Department of Arts and Culture to direct grants to artists. Right now, I don't think there are any direct grants to artists other than commissions for public artworks, but there are no local artist grant opportunities for artists in San Antonio, from the city of San Antonio. So we don't have that right now. There are grant opportunities for organizations, but not for artists. And then we need venues for artists to present their work, and this is in all disciplines. We need patrons. Patrons that will buy artwork, that will pay for performances, and that will support the creation of new work as well. Organizations, you know, do continue to support the work. For example, at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, we pay over 400 artists a year, you know, for different types of performances. And that's in all disciplines. That's in visual arts. We have a gallery that's in dance. We have a professional dance company and a dance academy. Music festivals, Arte Tejano Conjunto Festival being the largest ones. And there alone, we have over 200 artists that get paid to perform there. And then in literature and in media and film as well. But we need even more opportunities for the Latinx artists, and not just in the culturally specific organizations of San Antonio. There's a coalition of organizations called the West Side Arts Coalition, and that includes the Guadalupe and other places like the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, Urban 15, Centro Cultural Aztlan, Conjunto Heritage Taller, and NALAC as well. And I know I'm leaving somebody out, but you know, these organizations specifically provide opportunities for Latinx artists, and many of the other organizations in San Antonio do as well, but we need even more of that.
So as we talk about San Antonio's art system, let's talk a little bit more about what that might be. We're going to take a break, but, you know, let's talk about, you know, that involves everyone in our city. If you're an art consumer, if you're a person, you buy a ticket, or maybe you just look at art and you appreciate it. If you're an art creator, even us in the media, we are art promoters, you know, giving people a chance to come on the air and interact live with you to talk about the art scene and what's lacking, what's kicking it, and what do you want to see more of? What's keeping you from becoming an art patron? Going to a thing like I went to at the Guadalupe, the zine festival, and just went out and bought zines from people. It didn't take a lot of money, but they appreciated it, and it was just a way to get some really cool stuff. Lots of opportunities like that here in San Antonio. If you want to find out more about that, you want to ask some questions, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about Latinx art in San Antonio. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Latinx art in San Antonio. Right now, we're kind of looking at the state of the health system for San Antonio. And with us is Gabriel Magrainer. He is the Director of Programs for the National Association of Latino Arts and Culture. Today, he's making news announcing the latest battery of grants for 28 artists and 12 organizations receiving financial support from NALAC. But I want to ask you, Gabriel, where do you see San Antonio? How healthy is our art system?
Sure. So I just wanted to start by saying that NALAC is based on the west side of San Antonio, and there's an incredibly rich network of arts organizations on the west side and in our urban core that are doing amazing work and amazing programming, but that do not receive, you know, enough support, and they often do not receive attention sort of in the media. Organizations like Centro Cultural Aztlán, the Centro de Artes, Conjunto Heritage Taller, the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, San Anto Cultural Arts, Urban 15, you know, these organizations are doing really great stuff. But I think that there's so much more opportunity to amplify their work and to have folks in the community know about them and support them.
People see these as a closed system and not as an open system. And really, for it to be reach a maximum, you know, potential, it needs to be an open system where it's not just people in the scene feeding off each other and buying each other's work. It's got to be everybody included in here. And so how do we open the doors up and brush off the welcome mat and let everyone know this is awesome and you kind of come check this out?
Well, I think it's definitely on each person to sort of recognize their own biases and sort of where they're at. You know, we know that San Antonio is you know, it's a socioeconomically segregated place. People don't often venture out. But I think, you know, there's so much opportunity to sort of get out of your own routine and to see what's happening in the city.
All right, let's go to a caller. And the number is 210-614-8980 for you to join our conversation, like Richard. And Richard, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
My name is Richard Armendanis, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about Vos, the exhibition at the Plaza de Artes downtown. It's featuring 222 works by 166 artists, and Arturo Infante Almeida is the curator of that exhibit. And I think it's important that an exhibit like this happen because it really features the diversity both of our city and our artist community. It features artists of diverse backgrounds, both of age, experience, and background.
And so what are the hours, or how do we go?
The hours are, I believe, from Tuesday to Sunday, and it is a free art center, and I believe it's from 11 to 5.
All right, Richard, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. And so, Mati, you were excited to hear that call. Tell us more about that.
Well, I'm aware of Richard and his work, and I think that he does great work. You know, touching on a comment I made about artists supporting other artists and creating paths, and the way that our artistic scene has developed from when I first started making art. You know, when I started making art about 9 years ago, there was a lack of representation. There was much less lack of opportunity. But in, you know, the past 9 years, I've seen some growth. I don't think that it's enough growth, but I think a lot of that has to do with artists-run spaces, with artists taking agency into their own hands and realizing that they have the capacity to create their own work and develop their own spaces and provide those resources to their community. And I see that happening more often. And Richard's call reminded me of that, of the way that the artist network and the community that you build can really help you develop as an artist.
Here's another caller. This is Edith. Edith, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, my contribution, I guess, to the discussion is that, like the lady that was on earlier mentioned, there's a limited amount of venues that across multiple disciplines to provide an opportunity for artists to be able to share their art, be it music, be it visual arts, you know, and there's pockets of communities, much like St. Mary Street Strip and Southtown, and but downtown and other areas of San Antonio, I think I think those communities have supported that, but I think that there's got to be some kind of way to support the artists through the city as well. Challenges that we face as musicians is that, you know, we might go downtown, and this might seem something so minor, but yet it is integral to how we are able to function. Going downtown to park, we either have to pay for parking that is not necessarily relatively close to where we're playing, but yet all of the free parking that has been available before is being taken over by other ordinances or other organizations that are down there. And so now the artist isn't able to do that, to park there. And so now the venues have a limited budget as well. And so they pay us, but we have to take out of that money to pay for the parking to be able to walk 3 or 4 blocks with our equipment to do that. And so aside from that, I mean, we think also about the tourists coming in and them being able to know where kind of the areas are. If I have friends visiting and they ask me about music, I say, well, there's the St. Mary's Strip and there's, you know, Southtown, there's arts there too, and there's galleries. But other than that, I have to look for a listing of various musicians that I know, especially in the R&B soul, neo soul type of genres, and say, okay, well, these guys are here and it's just this isolated place over here. And then, you know, these guys are over here. So even for the tourist community, I think much like Austin, everybody knows go down 6th Street. Great. But, you know, how does that grow our community? I know there's organizations like San Antonio Soundgarden that are trying to be able to make sustainability for the arts, especially music.
Edith, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. A couple of first points you brought up was parking. I know that Austin has certain parking availability and parking passes for bands for loading and unloading. And do we know if we do anything like that here? Is that any sort of allowances for that? And she was, but the main point she made was talking about getting the word out or somehow aggregating what's happening. And that's just not just for bands, but also for art openings and other art events as well. If how can we maybe use technology or some other things? Or, and I know that over at the Guadalupe, you guys do a lot of activity. There's always something going on in the Guadalupe, and it's a job in and of itself, getting the word out to people who might be interested in this fantastic stuff to realize that they should come down.
You know, a big problem we face is that we have limited capacity. You know, I have a part-time communications director and not a full-time communications director. And to keep up to promote the 52 events that we have a year and for different types of audiences, you know, conjunto music is one audience, art exhibits are another audience. You know, that's a challenge.
And plays
are another audience. You know, so that's a real challenge. And of course, we don't have advertising budgets at all. So we have to rely on the grassroots, you know, social media type of promotion, just like all the other arts organizations. In fact, right now, one thing that we're talking about with a lot of these small organizations of color here in San Antonio is trying to find a capacity development fund that will help organizations build their capacity in a meaningful way. And that includes things like marketing. It could also mean things like, you know, development, finding assistance for further fundraising. And that, you know, that is a challenge. And maybe we're not organized enough yet to that where we can do some collective advertising and promoting. I know there has been attempts, you know, at having some centralized places, websites that can promote everything. But there's challenges with that as well.
Well, not to be self-serving, but we do have the community arts community calendar here on Texas Public Radio, and that's a free service that we provide, and we do put those messages on the air as we can. And maybe we need to fine-tune that, or maybe we need to have some discussions about how we can maximize that effectiveness so that other people who don't even know San Antonio can realize that they could check that out and find out what's going on locally. So how do we make sure that, you know, Latinx can reach all parts of the city, you know, and their messages don't just come into that singular pocket of, you know, because frequently when I hear about something that's really cool that's going on, I hear about it from a friend. I don't hear about it in the media or in the paper. And so we got to figure out, is there a better way of doing that? And so do you have any thoughts, Gabriel?
Well, I think it sort of strikes to larger questions of representation. So as far as, you know, a media outlet, it's sort of taking a step back and looking at all of the articles or content that you're putting together and saying, you know, what artists are not being represented here? Who's not at the table? So San Antonio is a city that is about, I think, 60% Latino, right?
Yes.
So when, you know, and to think about just, you know, well, maybe I should be representing, you know, 50% of the Latinx art and culture work that's happening in San Antonio. If you look at some of the major publications, it might be sort of a rare occurrence that they're showcasing, you know, what's happening at the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, what's happening with Conjunto Heritage Taller. It's a hard job, and it takes work to do it, but it's possible.
But there is an integrated cultural bias in our society. I mean, it's there. And so we need to recognize that exists and figure out how we can compensate for that so that we're truly trying to create art and promote art that is reflective of our society. I'm sorry, I cut you off there, Christina.
No, that's okay. I just want to point out an example of that. At the beginning of the year, there is a publication that is printed and distributed from the Express News that includes maps, features on all the cultural organizations, and a map where you can find all these cultural organizations. The Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center was not on there, and neither were any of the other arts organizations from the West Side or the small arts organizations. So there is an issue of representation still in this city.
Okay, how could that happen?
It did.
Okay, this goes to that we need people from San Antonio covering San Antonio. Because when you grow up here, how could you not know about the Guadalupe and the generations of excellent work that you guys have provided? And we have to at least call out things when that level of oversight happens. And we've seen that, and we've seen some problems in the past about that. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to jump in just back into that representation question and sort of why we're talking about it and sort of make it, just sort of underscore it. I think it's really about belonging, right? That showcasing Latino narratives, reminds us that, you know, Latinos are part of American society. It's not just about Latinos, right? That Black or African American art is American art. That Latino art is American art. That Asian American art is American art. So often our communities don't see ourselves on TV or in museums or in theaters or in those spaces. So what the important work that artists and arts organizations are doing is really just promoting these narratives so that our groups and our histories and our stories are not erased. And so I think that's sort of at the crux of the matter.
And being able to tell your own story and how important that is, particularly right now for San Antonio, because as we celebrate the tricentennial, this is an opportunity to try and really tell the true story of the city of San Antonio. And Madi, do you want to join in on that?
Sure, the story of the tricentennial. It tells 300 years of San Antonio history, but I think that one of the issues with that is that it leaves out who was here before, right? Who was here before that first year? And it's, you know, the native,
the indigenous people who had called this place home thousands of years.
And so what I have found actually within the work created for the tricentennial is that a lot of the work addresses the history of colonization within the city. And so it's turned out to be a representation of those voices. And that's been
injected into it. And we can talk about that some more when we come back from the break, as we talk about Latinx and artists in San Antonio. When we come back, we'll talk about what is Latinx? What does this word mean? And what does it mean when we hear it? What am I supposed to read into that? You're invited to call in. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about Latinx artists in San Antonio and finding sustainability and support. Stay tuned.
Many DACA recipients are concerned they'll be deported because their information is in the government's hands.
We knew people that were in fear and were not wanting to submit their documentation to the government because of those fears, and justifiable.
Next time on Fronteras, how a new Dreamers Resource Center at the University of Texas at San Antonio is helping young adults in uncertain times. Download Fronteras wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The topic is Latinx art in San Antonio, helping Latinx artists find sustainability and support, and taking the temperature, trying to see how healthy our art system here is in San Antonio for Latinx. And so we're throwing the word Latinx around. as if everyone is familiar with this term, and this is kind of a new thing, right? So what are we saying when we say Latinx as opposed to Latino or Latina? I don't know, let's go to Madi Hernandez. She's an artist and education manager for Blue Star Contemporary. What is this Latinx word?
Well, I think Latinx is an evolution of the word Latino, and it's a general gender-neutral term that is meant to be inclusive of, and it also stands, for me, it's a form of representation that you're standing in solidarity with certain communities, with individuals that don't identify with gender. I think it's also about acknowledging the way that our identities intersect. I do think that it's a generational term. I think that, well, not necessarily generational, but I think that it's new. I think that it's coming into use more recently than, you know, previous terms.
And if I don't use Latinx and I say Latino instead, am I messing up?
No, I wouldn't say that you're messing up, but I think that by identifying as Latinx is a commitment to the political issues that sort of define the term.
So there's a lot of subtext that's coming along with that. If I sign on to using the term Latinx, that means what? What am I signing on with?
Well, that you stand in solidarity with individuals that don't identify with the gender. Okay. The term erases the notion of masculine and feminine in the Spanish language. And I think it also, in a way, in my personal opinion, acknowledges the history of patriarchy within language.
Okay. And so do you want to add more to that, Christina Bailly from the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center?
No, I don't. Mari explained it very well. I just want to say that, you know, there are lots of terms, of course, that we use to identify ourselves. And, you know, a lot of us, like in our mission statements, you know, our mission statement at the Guadalupe is still, you know, to preserve and promote Latino, Chicano, and Native American art and culture. So catching up with a language, you know, is an issue. And then we also have different terms that we like to use, like I'm a Tejana, you know, I'm a Fronteriza. So there's just different terms that we can all use.
All right, but I want to get, Gabriel, you wanted to jump in real quick, and then we'll get to calls.
Yeah, I was just following up on what Christina was saying. You know, the Pew Hispanic Research looks into how people self-identify, and often people, the first thing that they'll say has to do with, like, their national origin. So they'll say, I'm Mexican, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm Peruvian. So, you know, we recognize that the way that people self-identify is the most important. But at NALAC, you know, we're using Latinx in order to be inclusive, and it's sort of a useful umbrella term because at the end of the day, you know, Latinx cultures represent lots of different groups that intersect in different places, folks who identify, you know, or who belong to different sort of racial groups. So, you know, we're not a monolith, but at some points it's useful to have an umbrella term.
So you see it as a term of unity?
Yeah, I think so. And it has sort of notes of hopefulness, that it's kind of futuristic with the X. It's an evolution, and I think we're sort of seeing where it's going.
Okay, let's get some callers in on this. This is Brian, and Brian, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good.
Hi, how are you doing?
Go right ahead, Brian.
Great. Yeah, so what I wanted to talk about was just hearing everybody speak. I mean, it's very eye-opening, and also, so I'm a director, and I've made a couple of movies, one with Lionsgate, one with Image Entertainment, and one with Magnolia Pictures, and I get asked a lot about being a Latino director, and I noticed that it was hurting my career a lot being a Latino director. Now, I'm very proud of being a Latino. I mean, I grew up on the, you know, out by Harlan on the South Side, but here's what I always tell people is, like, I'm not a Latino director, I'm just a director. I mean, nobody goes and calls Martin Scorsese an Italian director. So I think it's a label issue that I really have a problem with, and I just want people to know that you can be an artist without having to call yourself a Latino artist.
Okay, Brian, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. And so, Christina Bailly, reaction.
That is very common. That's a very common issue that all artists have to deal with, and a lot of people of color have to deal with in all professional settings, actually. Yes, we can get pigeonholed into certain categories, and there's an open debate about that. You know, there is an open debate about which way we're going to go, if our work is going to get recognized or not, if it is going to get labeled and categorized. And that discussion has been going back even, you know, to the Chicano movement, you know, back to the 60s and, you know, to the civil rights movement. And that is something that is ongoing that still hasn't been resolved. I don't know what you guys think.
I mean, I definitely identify with the caller. I feel that his perspective is something that is common among people that, you know, that choose to identify with an ethnic culture. When I first started making art, I identify as Chicana, as Chicanx. When I first started making art, I was literally told that if I identified as Chicana, that I wasn't going to be successful. At the time, of course, you know,
Why wouldn't that be successful?
Well, I think that there's different reasons. And I think one of the reasons in acknowledging, first of all, I define my own definition for success, and I have not found that to be true. But at the same time, it's acknowledging the history of institutional racism. It's acknowledging the history of inequity and representation within the arts. And so, you know, that was said to me many years ago, and it's still said to me as of recently. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about the issue of or around Latinx and Latinx art. And he posed the question about if you're taking up an identity, what is it that you're giving up? Are you giving up something? My answer to that is that I don't need to be a part of a space or an institution that feels that my identity in some way degrades.
But there's something about the Mexican-American experience. There's just stories that have to be told from that point of view. And oftentimes it's a story of the other in your mm-hmm. homeland and being made to feel different when, mm-hmm. you know, you're not. And it's a story that people, it's a struggle. And these are stories that people need told because they're real and they happen. And also we have to get those things out there.
Absolutely.
And by telling that, that's excluding you from being able to tell other stories.
Exactly. I agree.
Okay. All right, another caller. This is Marcus. And Marcus, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much. I'd like to also add that, you know, art coming from people of color, you know, has, of course, always been marginalized. But now, these days, I just came back from New Orleans, and there was a wonderful, you know, a lot of different wonderful shows there that were in different galleries that were very colorful, very cultural, very tribal. And I really feel that San Antonio, again, is at an apex where it really has wonderful emerging artists, both, you know, Latino, African-American, white, Asian, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we're at a wonderful place in our San Antonio area that we can all really come together. And I think what's important is, like what we're doing with 300, we're celebrating San Antonio's history. I think we should, through the arts, primarily, because, you know, that's really why people are entertained. You're entertained visually, audially. And I think we need to continue that. I think we need to continue that emphasis on local artists here, whomever they may be, from whatever background. You know, when we speak of Americana pop art, we usually think of, you know, art that's from a white perspective. But because things have been happening after civil rights and everything else, the emergence of, you know, a lot of, you know, we've had Obama, who was our first African-American president. You know, we really now have so many voices that are emerging.
Right.
And San Antonio is a perfect place where we can continue to, you know, when we look at Day of the Dead, you know, we shouldn't see that as something flippant, something that, you know, just a small regional thing. I mean, artists, if they love painting souls, what else can they do with it? How can they, you know, really evolve it?
And we're seeing that. Marcus, thank you so much for the call. So San Antonio in a transitional time, I think, is where Marcus is going with that, where we have all sorts of shifts in leadership and direction and opportunities presenting themselves. NALAC is a big part of that. But So we've had longstanding cultural institutions like the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, and frequently we've seen a lot of changing at in the leadership positions there. And so it seemed like that might be a problem, trying to come up with long-term individuals who are going to sit in these chairs of opportunity and leverage to create long-term sustainability for art in San Antonio. And so, Christina, I mean, that's right in your court.
It is, and we got to look at what kind of support these organizations are getting so that they can be stable. Let's talk about city funding, and in fact, this is one big source of support that organizations get. San Antonio is 65% Latino or Latinx, Mexican-American primarily, and funding from the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture, only 16%. 1.6% of that funding goes to organizations of color in San Antonio, and that is the primarily Mexican-American organizations and any other minority organization.
Okay,
here.
So we're opening up a whole new, this is something we really need to talk about. It's going to take some time. I got a break right here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about funding art through the equity lens, something we're hearing about in San Antonio from the City Hall, but what's really happening. Give us a call. Also, the conversation continues. Number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about Latinx art in San Antonio, helping this become a stable, sustainable part of our local art scene. And we were getting into talking about city funding in the equity lens when we went to break. Let's come back to that. And Christina Bailly, the Executive Director of the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center, apparently you've got a lot to say.
Well, yes, because we're right in the middle of that discussion right now as we speak. New guidelines are being drafted for the City of San Antonio's Department of Arts and Culture. And I do want to say that you're right, like you said earlier, that there's an opportunity right now. Leadership in San Antonio is really focusing on equity, and that includes the mayor. Many of the city council people, I know they are all supportive of arts and culture and really are trying to find ways to support more sustainability of arts and cultures they all want it in their respective districts as well. That discussion is also an important one that's happening right now. And the current director, Debbie Rocca-Sitter, has also been putting a lot of thought into this. She's had many, many discussions with people in the community, mainly open meetings. She's met with many of the different organizations and listened to their needs and trying to incorporate all of that into new funding guidelines. Now, the will and then the ability, you know, the boots on the ground ability to actually create new guidelines and, you know, do it in a way that keeps everybody's needs in mind is the difficult part. And they are coming up with some new guidelines that will be helpful to many people. And of course, you know, some people will feel that they're not helpful. There's positions on both sides. But there is at least an intent to move in that direction. Now, how that's actually going to play out in the end, there are still changes going on right now. We'll see how that plays out. But the main thing to keep in mind here, like I said, is that city funding for the arts that comes primarily from the hotel motel tax. And then let me just add here, too, that the state law allows 15% of hotel motel tax to go into arts and culture. In San Antonio, only 13% of that allowable percentage is going to arts and culture. It is up to the city leadership to increase that, to bring that up to the 15%. So there's a bigger pot to distribute among the arts organizations. And And also that there is also the political will and leadership to come up with funding sources outside of the hotel motel tax. We see that happening all the time when there are major investments in infrastructures in city streets, for example, in certain parts of the city, you know, in, or for example, in the River Authority, you know, with a river walk, making that accessible to a certain parts of the city. One thing that the West Side Arts Coalition is asking for is just more infrastructure investment on the West Side so that people aren't afraid to come over to the Guadalupe Cultural Arts Center.
So let's make clear. So the hotel motel tax, when people come to San Antonio and they come for a convention or a special event or to visit the family, they go to a hotel room, they're going to pay a little bit extra, a tax for staying here, and that money goes to support tourism and other things here in San Antonio, and art and culture is part of that. You see that as an incredibly critical part of making San Antonio an interesting place and that attracts visitors.
That's right. And 15% of that tax on the hotel room is going to go to support arts and cultural organizations here in San Antonio. Other parts of that go to City Convention Visitors Bureau or Visit SA, you know, and other portions.
Advertising campaigns.
Uh-huh.
So, but you say, so it's one discussion to have, like, should the city fund art? Well, that conversation has already happened. The city is going to fund art. The question is now, which art is the city going to fund? And you're saying we need to make that more reflective of the population that we have now.
Because San Antonio, again, is 65% Latino, and only 16% of city arts funding is going to Latino organizations.
So think about that as venture capital investment. If you're going to put dollars into that area, this is a growth area. This is where the future is.
And this is where the past has been and where the present is and where the future can be. People come to San Antonio for its authenticity. People recognize that San Antonio is primarily a Latino city, and it offers, you know, the Latino culture and the authentic version of the Latino culture, especially in areas like the West Side, you know, and not just the mariachis playing on the Riverwalk. So if we want to keep San Antonio authentic, if we don't want to become a Disneyland, you know, a generic version of a Mexican city, we need to keep these authentic organizations that have been presenting authentic art and culture for 40 years.
Another caller. This is our last caller. Let's get Renee on the air. Hey, Renee, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. With the idea, I was on the cultural arts board, by the way, with the city at one point, and I love the arts. My kids are in the arts. But with the idea of the equity lens, I was just kind of wondering, how do you see the dynamics? I'm asking this of everyone there, of generation Latino X, Latino Chicana, Chicano, Mexican American arts. And what are the needs, what do they look like in the broader sense in San Antonio for it to be sustainable and to exist not only in the West Side, but beyond that, like in the World Heritage area? How are we going to get the arts there? How are we going to push for that? Because that's really going to, I think, make it somewhat more acceptable, because then it's going to have a broader impact in our city.
Okay, Renee, thank you for that call. And so let me go to Gabriel first, since you're with NALAC, the National Association of Latino Arts and Culture. Are y'all concerned about that? You know, making sure art is in these areas?
I think it's definitely super important to make sure that everyone in every community has access to art and also access to practice their own culture and tradition. But I was interested in what the caller said about, the youth generation and sort of our elders. And I'm thinking about one of our newest grantees, Conjunto Heritage Taller. And something that's amazing that they do is they teach conjunto music, you know, the bajo sexto accordion, and their students range from 8 to 80 years old. So there's amazing intergenerational work already happening. And by investing more in our organizations, they'll be able to be in more places in the city.
And Mari Hernandez from Blue Star Contemporary, mm-hmm. and you're an artist yourself.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. I think that there's a big emphasis on working with youth. At Blue Star, we work with youth in many ways. We have our Mosaic Student Artist Program, which is a studio intensive program. We also have our Creative Classrooms Program, which takes art into the schools, and so we fill a gap. We place an artist in a classroom, and they're responsible for teaching their practice in terms of TEKS subjects. And so these kids are getting access to the arts and also learning about core subjects as well. We're very intentional about our outreach, and we want to, again, make sure that we reach a wide audience, we reach an intergenerational audience, and that, again, we reach all parts of the city.
And Christina Bailly?
That's right. You know, there's lots of organizations here that are already doing this work. And if they had, it comes down to resources. If they had more resources, they would do it in more parts of the city as well. You know, they would extend it. We are all eager to do more programming. We don't have the base of millions of dollars, and we don't have sometimes, you know, we don't have the endowments, the large endowments. We don't have the big donors of a certain size. So it's all a matter of resources. So if the city wants to have a more culturally and artistically rich city, it can help invest in certain areas.
Mari, how hard is it to be an artist?
It could be difficult. I think that most of the artists I know have two jobs. They work a full-time job, or they work contract work or part-time work, and then their other full-time job is making art. So it's really a commitment. It's a commitment to your practice, and you have to constantly seek out support. You have to work so that you're able to purchase materials, right? And then I think, you know, something that we talked about earlier was artists being paid a living wage, and that's an issue in our city. How are we supporting our artists to where they can sustain their practice? Large grants, large national grants, such as the grants that the NALAC gives out, promote sustainability. So, you know, when you receive a grant, you really have to think about how to make that money last. What can I do with that money in order to sustain my practice?
And then there's a value getting the grant. It adds to your brand that you've been recognized. But Gabriel, how do people learn how to get these grants?
Sure. Well, our website, www.nalac.org, includes more information about the grants that we offer. If you're a local artist in San Antonio, the San Antonio Artists Foundation also has individual support grants. And there are various professional development opportunities. We operate a NALAC Leadership Institute to help people sort of work in on their development skills in other areas. There are other groups like the Creative Women's Alliance that run workshops, providing resources. So, email us, visit our website. We would love to work with you.
And Christina Bailly, what's happening at the Guadalupe?
We are having a hip-hop dance show on February 17th. We have a big mariachi Valentine concert on February 10th.
That's always popular. That's huge.
It sells out. So you can buy your tickets early. Of course, our website is guadalupeculturalarts.org.
And over at Blue Star, Mari?
Yes. Tonight we have a big opening. We are opening our portion of Common Currents, which focuses on the year of 1768 through 1817. In addition to that, we are opening Wendell White's Manifest, whose work focuses on African-American history.
All right. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us this afternoon as we talk about Latinx art and helping Latinx artists survive in San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.